If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Adele Levine is a physical therapist, practicing physical therapist. And in her 6 years at Walter Reed Army Medical Center, she rehabilitated soldiers that were admitted in worse and worse shape day by day as body armor and advanced trauma care helped save the lives, if not the limbs, of American soldiers fighting in the rehabilitation. But she worked years there. The days are intense, chaotic, consuming, and heartbreaking, and you'll hear about it now. And read about it in full form in her book. Her book is called Run, Don't Walk, The Curious and Chaotic Life of a Physical Therapist Inside Walter Reed Medical Center. Adele Levine. It's published by Avery Books. Welcome in. Thanks for coming on. You loved working the amputee clinic and stayed for several years. I guess everybody has a purpose, a point in life. You loved working there. Why is that?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I had my moments when I didn't love it so much, but I loved it because I felt like I was part of something that was much larger than myself. And I worked with a really great group of people, and it was a real team effort over there, and there was a lot of camaraderie, and I just knew we were doing something every day that really mattered.
Did it take a while for you to warm up to it? I mean, did you get into it right away and enjoyed it from the first moment you stepped into the
facility? Oh, no, not at all. It was really tough, yeah. And I wasn't prepared for it. And I had a lot of, I don't know what you would call it, come to God moments where I was like, what am I doing here? You know, I need to find an easier job. But, it was just such a hard place to leave. You know, when we were working so hard and it was just so busy, I just felt like I could never quite get my feet on the ground. And again, I mean, I just really, it was such a tight-knit group of people, not just my coworkers, but also our patients and their families. I feel like we really kind of bonded.
Well, good for you. Here's Dr. Mike Roizen.
Yeah, and I suppose I should be saying thank you, too, not only to you, but all the men and largely it was men and young guys who were had parts of them blown to bits for doing all you did for the country. So thank you. It would have been tough.
Thank you. I apologize.
Go ahead.
I know you were in the public health service, too, so thank you for your service.
Right. In fact, I spent 2 days working at Walter Reed, at the old Walter Reed, as well as more about during that period of time since we were indoctrinated at what was then the National Naval Medical Center in Bethesda and is now the Walter Reed National Medical Center in Bethesda. So, and that's where you went to work afterwards. But one of the interesting stories, I mean, this is the facility had a character about it, and you describe working in a, quote, fishbowl. It's such an interesting fishbowl, and the 10 of you, I guess, that were physical therapists had a total of 4 cubic square feet of space to record all that you did during the day for these men and all that went on with them. Tell us a little bit about what you mean by a fishbowl and why it was a fishbowl.
We worked in a glassed-in rehab clinic, and it was glassed-in because there were so many visitors coming to Walter Reed that they wanted to glass it in so they wouldn't disrupt patient care. So they would lead tour groups around the perimeter, and it gave it kind of a really surreal feeling. The patients and the staff, we always used to joke that, you know, we felt like animals at the zoo because, I mean, literally every hour there was another 30 people assembled outside the glass looking in at us. But because I'm a swimmer, I always sort of thought to myself, you know, it really feels like an aquarium. We're just fish in a bowl.
And there was no sound transmitted between the outside and the inside, as I understand it. So you really were as though a fish in a bowl where you didn't hear what was going on outside. You could see expressions but didn't hear. And consequently, your work with these amputees was even more intense, probably.
It was, but it was, you know, on our side of the glass. you know, we were always kind of joking and laughing. I mean, the patients were really, you know, they had a real barracks mentality in there. They used to refer to physical therapy as, you know, just another day in paradise, and they all wore these T-shirts that said things like, I had a blast in Afghanistan, or, you know, Marines, some assembly required. And, you know, that was kind of the mentality on our side of the glass, you know, where the guys are calling each other ugly stump or princess and just, you know. But
in physical therapy, when we say physical therapy, we just say it kind of as a word, but it is really a lot of effort by those guys to move things, isn't it?
Oh, they worked. I mean, it was hard work, and we definitely put them through their paces. So they started physical therapy and also occupational therapy pretty much upon arrival at Walter Reed. So within a few days of getting blown up in theater, they came to Walter Reed. They were rushed right into the ORs, and then the next day when they woke up, they started rehab. And they did rehab every day except for the days that they had surgery, and they had a lot of surgeries. Most of them would have 20 to 60 surgeries.
Now, we've got a comment from Mary here on the email line, udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com, who asks, did you see immense progress in, I guess, in the prostheses? That is, are people able to do much more with because the prostheses have changed, or are the prostheses about the same as when you started? I guess it was probably about 10 years ago.
The lower extremity prosthetics, yes, there's been a lot of development in that area. However, that doesn't make it any easier to walk with. You really have to do the work. If you walk badly in some old school Civil War era leg, you're going to walk just as bad in some like brand new X3. They don't walk for you, but they are certainly safer. So they're not going to buckle as quickly or collapse underneath you as an older version. However, I do have to say that as far as the arm prosthetics, you know, we're really lagging behind there. You know, they have a lot of fancy hands that they keep showing on the news that do all this stuff with brain waves and things like that, but they're really not as functional as you would hope. And a lot of the upper extremity prosthetics are still kind of controlled with like a string across the back.
We're talking with Adele Levine, L-E-V-I-N-E, her website is Adele, A-D-E-L-E, L-E-V-I-N-E.com, where you can get the book, or, of course, you can get it at Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. So and you had some very memorable patients, as well as some memorable, I guess you'd call it, co-workers.
Yes. I mean, I think... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I always felt like my coworkers, you know, the ones who kind of stayed there, we all were a little maybe eccentric. We all had our own little things that kind of maybe that kept us ticking on this when we weren't at work. I mean, I had, you know, my crazy coworker was always sort of consumed with little things that were going on with him and would involve the entire clinic in it, including, you know, bringing in all these cakes for everybody to try. And, you know, the dietitian was always going berserk because we were eating so badly in there.
So he was a crazy coworker who refused to, you know, or who insisted on cooking every evening.
Yeah, and I think that was how he sort of de-stressed. So he was always making different cakes, and then, you know, he's bringing these cakes in all the time, and you're not really supposed to be eating in physical therapy, yet there's a physical therapist who's, you know, carting in, you know, dozens of cakes. But the patients were always also very intense because, you know, most of them were in their early 20s and, you know, they're young men and they're, you know, like my one patient who decided he needed to try and catch a bus to the White House while he was still hospitalized and, you know, it would take two or three steps.
We're going to take a break. We get to heartbreak right now. We'll be right back with Adele Levine, L-E-V-I-N-E. Run, don't walk. Joe?
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamins C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Our guest is Adele Levine. She's a physical therapist. Her book is called Run, Don't Walk, The Curious and Chaotic Life of a Physical Therapist Inside Walter Reed Army Medical Center. The publisher is Avery Books, and here again is Dr. Mike Roizen.
Adele, I'm saying Avery after the book publisher. Adele, this is a interesting book. As I was talking to you afterwards, there were some of the things that I remember from my days in the public health service were that Walter Reed was not a great general, but was in fact a physician who had helped uncover yellow fever, I guess. Or uncover the cause of yellow fever.
He was. I always thought that was kind of sort of poignant that they named a hospital after, you know, a young physician.
But he did so much for in fact, the service and for men, I guess, in that era. That was the other thing that was astonishing to me is that you describe how I would have thought you would burn out much faster, and you clearly had to use, and all of the physical therapists that there probably had to use humor as a coping mechanism.
Oh, we definitely used humor. I mean, it was I often wondered, like, you know, how did certain people end up in the amputee section? Because there were, you know, several different physical therapy sections at the hospital. And I think the ones that were in the amputee section, I almost feel like we were put in there because we all had really good senses of humor, you know, and that we were always kind of laughing and joking. And, you know, you ruffled a lot of feathers with a good joke. And a lot of that also came from the patients. Like I said before, that was kind of how they interacted with each other.
And now, but there must still be burnout there. It must be easier. I was thinking when I was reading this book how much easier it must be to be a physical therapist for example, even a losing baseball team or a losing football team like the Browns, which hasn't won in, I think, 20 years or something. It had only one or two. Even the physical therapist for even a losing football team must be much easier than being a physical therapist and with an amputee ward.
Well, I always wondered about, you know, the other physical therapists, like, you know, were they dreaming about work? I mean, we all would kind of have nightmares about work. You know, I went through a period of time where every night, everybody in my dreams was an amputee. And also, I have this kind of thing where I'm always looking at people's legs. Whenever I see someone that I can't place, I'm always looking at their legs because I got so used to looking at people's amputation levels. And so it bled over into my life. And I just don't think that happens with someone who's just treating tennis elbow. I don't know. I guess it was an occupational hazard of being at Walter Reed.
Now, the other question, and there are a lot of great things here. You end the book in about the time you move from Walter Reed, the old Walter Reed, to the new Walter Reed. And I know you went over for a number of years, and they gave you even less space, which, you know, you got to say, this is crazy planning on the Department of Defense's, but even worse planning, it seems to me. How did you transfer people to the VA? Did you have phone calls, or was it all electronic, or was it all through paper transfers?
The VA transfer, there's been a lot of stuff in the news about how slow it is, and it is slow, and that's because a lot of it is paper, you know, where the patients have to get everything kind of, their medical records are in paper and everything has to be filled out in paper. You know, our medical records at Walter Reed and also at the VA are electronic, but still they have to get all these signatures.
And the two systems aren't the same system, so it's not perfect communication.
No. It's a very slow process.
Now, did you ever, or did the VA physical therapist ever call you, or did you talk to them in person, or was it all through this paper system?
Well, we actually had a VA physical therapist who was in our clinic 2 days a week. So she got to know some of the patients, and she was a fantastic clinician herself. But, you know, at Walter Reed, you know, we're in Washington, D.C., but a lot of our patients are not going to stay in Washington, D.C., so unfortunately, they weren't going to go to Lindsay's VA in D.C. They were going to go to different VAs. But we do keep in touch with a lot of the patients, and a lot of our patients, if they couldn't get the prosthetic care they needed at their home VA, they would come back to Walter Reed for follow-up visits generally for prosthetic fitting.
Now,
there was a lot of back
and
forth.
The other thing that surprised me, and maybe it shouldn't have, but I was surprised by your descriptions of when congressmen and especially congressmen visited the VA, how strucken they were, or how, I guess you'd say, sympathetic and surprisingly sympathetic they were. It would seem to me that a congressman who is voting for war, is voting for going into this, must know that's a huge commitment he's making of our youth. Were you surprised by how many visitors you had and how intense their visits were?
Actually, I was surprised by how many congressmen didn't flinch when they came through our clinic. But there was one congressman who started to cry. And when it happened, it was because my patient, Cosmo, he had lost both of his legs at that point above the knee, so kind of at mid-thigh. And, you know, we would put them, patients like him, we would start them on really short legs called stubbies, so they looked like midgets, you know, because they're basically walking on their knees. And he took one look at Cosmo and just, like, burst into tears. Cosmo got all kind of pissy about it. He was like, I think he thought I was a midget for real.
So Cosmo handled it, and you describe Cosmo throughout here. And Cosmo handled it with the usual humor.
He had a lot of vinegar in him, for sure. But yeah, he would make me laugh.
Now, and the other thing is not only were the physical therapists, and what I think you described this so well in the book, not only were the physical therapists so devoted and integral to the improvement in these men, but they didn't exactly give you luxurious work conditions. As I said, as I remember your description, it was one desk, six computers. You had 12 square inches of space to put your personal valuables, so that when you came in and left, you were often leaning over other people's personal space.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to actually have time to get an answer for that, because I love the book Run, Don't Walk. Joe?
This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. We thank you for listening, and stay well.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Available in natural food stores nationwide or visit AmericanWildFoods.com.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's OMEGA, TakeOmega.com.